From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and yes, welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines at the half hour this hour. Next hour, The Intelligent Universe with James Gardner. This is shaping up to be an incredible night. Well, here we go. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has rejected international calls for Iran to suspend uranium enrichment. Now, this is a day before a UN deadline runs out. He said Iran would only do so if other countries seeking the suspension stop producing nuclear fuel themselves. Mr. Ahmadinejad said that he wants talks on his nation's nuclear program, but only if preconditions were imposed. Details have emerged of U.S. contingency plans for airstrikes on Iran. The U.S. insists it is not planning to attack and is trying to use diplomacy to persuade Tehran to stop uranium enrichment. Iran insists its program is for civil use only, but Western countries suspect Iran is trying to build nuclear weapons. Hossein Hajazi is a program director and show host for KIRN 670 Radio Iran in Los Angeles. He's been invited to take part in many radio shows. He's an active member of the Iranian community. Hussein holds a weekly radio show talking to scholars and analysts regarding Iran. We're going to chat with him very briefly now about this situation. Welcome back, Hussein. How are you?
Good evening, and thank you very much for having me on your show, Mr. Nouri, and it's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure. Now, this situation with Iran still seems to be heating up, even though they keep coming up with new deadlines. It seems like we're coming to the end here, are we?
Yes, and it's very unfortunate because despite the fact that there are some moderate people in Iran that are inside the government that are trying to stop Mr. Ahmadinejad, for some reason, he keeps going with the rhetorics that he has started, and we don't see any change on his tune of voice.
Now, we had you on a couple months ago. You thought, well, I don't know, maybe diplomacy might get something resolved here. At this point, Hussein, what do you think might happen?
Well, from what we know about the regime of mullahs, they are very, very smart on playing games to the end, and then with some kind of with some kind of action, they can just find a way to get away from what they have said before. But this is just a wishful thinking as far as I'm concerned, because I was hoping that by now they learned the lesson and know that this is a dangerous game that they are playing. But another side of the story about their beliefs, their fanatism, and the belief that this person has to the 12th Imam that is going to come and help him to conquer the world and do all those nonsenses that he thinks is something that makes everybody concerned.
What does your experience tell you that could happen in the next couple months?
Well, I'm hoping that those moderate forces in Iran that are getting together and they have made a coalition of the ex-president, presidents, means Rafsanjani and Khatami, and they had a declaration today that they don't want this to go any further from what it has been so far. We are hoping that those forces can balance the situation and get to a type of resolution with the United Nations, or we may go any some further and get to a point that with new rules and new statements from United Nations Security.
I understand.
Now, I'm sorry. Those.
Now, also, 11 Revolutionary Guard members were killed. They were bombed. The suspect was hanged in the scene of the crime there.
Yes.
What's happening internally there, Hussein?
Well, internally, we have had this commotion and this situation, this agitation in one part of Iran, which are Baluchis. These people are, there's a province in Iran by the name of Sistan. And there are these people that have been under pressure a lot because they are mostly Sunnis. And this uprise over there is nothing new, and it has been going on for a long time so far.
Do the Iranians expect the United States to attack?
They do. They're very concerned. They're very concerned.
And do you believe, as an expert in Iran, that that is a likely possibility?
Well, the way that we are progressing, the way that we are, that the things are developing these days, I'm very concerned because despite the fact that the administration keeps denying that has any plan to attack Iran, but with the big gathering of the Iranian forces in Persian Gulf, and we know that they are doing another exercise over there, huge gathering of the military forces and the Iranian Navy in that area, and even some kind of boats that are going very close to Basra. You have to be familiar with the geography of that place, which you can see each other. The Iranian can see the Basra from Iranian soil and vice versa.
Yeah, it just all appears that something's going to happen really soon. Thanks, Hussein. Appreciate you being on the program. And again, we'll always tap into your expertise during this Iranian situation. You talk about fanatics. A Pakistani minister, a female, she's a woman's activist. She's been shot dead by an Islamic extremist for refusing to wear the veil. She was killed as she was about to deliver a speech to dozens of activists by a fanatic who believed that she was dressed inappropriately and that women should not be involved in politics. As President George W. Bush struggles against legislative opposition to a strategy to increase U.S. forces in Iraq, a top ally has now moved in the opposite direction by offering a drawdown schedule for its forces. Prime Minister Tony Blair of Britain set to announce a new conditionally based plan to make it possible to bring 1,500 British troops home from Iraq in the next several weeks. We'll be talking with John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, about that situation in just a moment. Pharmaceutical giant Merck & Company is immediately suspending its lobbying campaign to persuade state legislatures around the country to mandate that adolescent girls get the company's new vaccine against cervical cancer as a requirement for school attendance. The drug maker had been criticized by parents, doctors, and this program for quietly funding the campaign via a third party to require 11 and 12-year-old girls to get the three-dose vaccine in order to attend school. A Brazilian woman is set to sue a hospital after discovering that the cause of her 23-year-old stomach ache was a scalpel left in her body. The 5-centimeter scalpel was found in her lower abdomen after doctors took an X-ray. Doctors at a public hospital left the surgical instrument there in 1984 when she gave birth through a C-section. And also, I get this email in from Dave. He says, George, Sunday night around Seattle was covered overnight with a heavy accumulation of dust. No, it wasn't snow. It wasn't volcanic ash. Nobody knows what it was. So during open lines, those of you in the Seattle area, give us a call. Tell us what you think all that was. He said it was about an inch and a half deep over quite a large area of Seattle. That's incredible. Okay, in a moment, we check in with John Curtis to get his reaction to Tony Blair deciding to pull out some troops out of Iraq. And John has also written a very interesting article about the breakdown of Britney Spears. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. John Curtis is the editor of onlinecolumnist.com. He's also columnist for the Los Angeles Daily Journal, director of the Los Angeles think tank, specializing in corporate consulting and strategic training. He's a seminar trainer, as well as considered the nation's leading authority on spin damage control. He's our guest on Coast to Coast. Hey, John, welcome back.
Hey, George, how are you?
Always a pleasure. Good. Now, this situation with Tony Blair announcing a timeline to pull out at least 1,500 soldiers, he's under a lot of pressure.
He's been hammered for years about this as being a lackey of Bush. And I mean, it really has taken him down. I mean, Blair, as you know, is probably one of the most popular prime ministers in British history.
Until recently,
sure. And if it were not for his involvement in Iraq, I think that he would be a shoo-in for as many terms as he'd want. I mean, he'd get the approval. Now, Gordon Brown is due to succeed him in September. But Bush had, Bush has taken his toll on, on Blair's political future, which is, I mean, in many respects, you can't blame Blair for lending the support, and I think most Americans are quite grateful to it. But it was, when Rumsfeld was after, I guess it was a day after the mid-year election was dumped. You know, you're talking about Bush losing his biggest salesman on Iraq, and things have kind of gone downhill from there. This latest troop surge, of course, is, possibly going to push a better perimeter around Baghdad for, controlling some of the violence. But most people don't think that it's really going to put much of a dent in the insurgency.
Yeah, they've got about 7,200 members, force members in Iraq, so they're going to pull out 1,500. They'd like to get it down by 3,000 by the end of 2007. Obviously, sign of the times for them. They're pulling out, John.
Well, they are, and I think most of the other, I think there's been some recent, I believe the Italians are pulling out, if that hasn't already taken place. And as you know, the Spanish pulled out. The Aussies are left now. John Howard down there is, of course, bashing Barack Obama for daring to suggest that, the Iraq situation has really deteriorated and suggesting we shouldn't even be there. So I think the policy, the whole structure of the Iraq war is disintegrated when, the rug was pulled out from underneath Rumsfeld. And it's really quite tragic because I think now you've got McCain out there, I mean, just slamming Rumsfeld. I mean, and, prior to this, I mean...
Well, isn't that justified?
Well, I think, is Rumsfeld the one who sets the policy, or is the policy set at the Office of Special Plans
the
Vice President?
I was going to say there's been talk that the policy was set by Cheney and Rumsfeld together.
Well, of course. I mean, in this Libby trial, I mean, you take a look at how this thing has really exposed the extent of how the Vice President conducts business. I mean, right in front of the American public, I mean, just right out there, it's been exposed that Vice President reads the New York Times. Well, he doesn't like what somebody writes an op-ed piece, so he decides, well, here, take this information. His wife works for the CIA, and basically, let's retaliate. Let's trash her. And so this is, and the thing about Libby that I think is so tragic in a way is that there's an expectation, it seems like, in Cheney's office at least, and it looks like in the White House also, that these are not elected officials, these are kings, and the people that work for them are to commit any act of treason, it seems, that lie, cheat, I mean, to do anything in order to protect their boss, and that's the tragic part for Libby. That's what he was doing. I mean, the guy was just trying to protect Cheney up the chain of command, and look the mess that he got himself into, and the exposure of the public relations damage that they go through, the machinations to deal with one man's editorial that only talked about the fact that they twisted intelligence. I mean, really, what did Wilson really say that everybody?
Okay,
else
well,
wasn't
let's
even
let's not let's
about?
Not talk too much about that. I'm more concerned about the Iraq situation.
But I mean, I think it's all connected. It's all connected because Iraq, the British pulling out and the questioning of the whole basis for the war, and now, the 2 years of continuous denials on the part of the White House, and that there's a civil war going on and that the U.S. is between it and we're getting hammered over there. I think it's all coming to roost right now.
Do you see this as just a ploy to slowly pull out of Iraq and concentrate on Iran?
Well, I don't think there's any question that they're going to have to deal with Iran, and I think your guest is, I think his instincts, you could really perceive his instincts of something in the works over there, and I do think that, Bush has made it emphatically clear that he is not going to allow Iran on his watch to obtain a nuclear weapon, and I think if that involves, and frankly, I think as unpopular as it is in Iraq, George, I think there's a lot of people in this country who also concur with Bush that Iran is really the danger in the region. It never was Iraq, and they do have to do. They're going to have to deal with Ahmadinejad on this issue. They cannot allow this country, who've already stated, you know, that they are going to, you know, they'd like to wipe Israel off the map to develop a nuclear bomb.
And us, too.
Yeah, and us, too. And, you know, our other allies in the region.
Well, and seeing that's the problem. I think had Ahmadinejad kept his mouth quiet, he might have had a little more support from people. If he continued to have said, look, all we want is we want this for domestic reasons.
Right.
We want this for power and energy. But instead, he's talking about destroying everybody. I mean, what are you going to believe?
Look, the guy hosted a Holocaust denial conference. He is basically been spewing this kind of hateful rhetoric out and making threats against other nations. And here's a guy that wants to enrich uranium. I don't think so. And, yes, if had he kept the diplomacy a lot more quiet, had they played their cards close to the vest, Iran, there wouldn't be quite as much of an uproar over the enrichment activities that are going on because nobody really trusts him and, the current regime that's in power.
Russians are saying that if we put a anti-missile defense system in some of the Eastern European countries, they're going to aim their missiles at those countries. They're getting tough again.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at Putin, who has really dismantled the free press in Russia and really gone back to the old Soviet-style control.
Has.
I mean, we're talking about under Bush's watch, I mean, and I think this is really, I mean, Bush has talked about he looked in Putin's eyes and he saw a good man. But really what he was seeing was really a facade of a very evil individual that he has really systematically taken all of the reforms under Boris Yeltsin and, Gorbachev, and he's really dismantled them. You look at the Russians, what they did to Vladimir Khodorkovsky and basically putting him in a prison in Siberia for controlling Yukos, you know, their major oil company, and went from eating beluga caviar to drinking fish soup.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
No, it's
just
true.
A few more minutes to go here. I want to get your reaction. You have a column on your website, onlinecolumnist.com, about Britney's breakdown. And, you're one of the few people to really be sympathetic to this situation. She does need help, doesn't she?
Oh, it's a desperate cry for help. And I think there's so many really brilliant and, you know, geniuses out there who are creative people who have a bipolar disorder and go untreated and they wind up killing themselves like Anna Nicole Smith wound up doing inadvertently. Of course, we don't know really what the cause of death, but
right.
I think most people suspect that it was, you know, somehow either an inadvertent or some kind of drug overdose mm-hmm. or of that kind of nature. But I think the same thing could be true. When somebody starts, chopping off their hair, I mean, it's definitely a cry. It's one step removed, basically, from slashing or cutting themselves. And I think in her particular case, it's unfortunate because these people are, you know, the tabloids really play up the kind of glitz and glamour connected with the rich and famous. And I think in her case, it's another tragedy of an undiagnosed bipolar disorder that has really gone untreated. And hopefully, you know, in this rehab, if she really stays with it, then somebody will get her on the right medications and she can go back and resume her career.
Well, let's hope so, because she's doing all this right before a custody battle for her two baby sons.
Well, and she has. And when you've got somebody binge drinking and out, you know, running around in the party scene, it doesn't really look good to a judge as to how responsible the parent is. And I think that even though that she's got some people testifying what a wonderful mother she is, I think the facts speak for themselves as far as the way she's running around. It doesn't speak well for, you know, her parenting skills.
Johns, thanks again so much. And we're going to sit back and see what happens on this Iranian situation. But I'm predicting in less than 2 months, something will happen.
Yeah, I'm, that's my read also, that I think that, the U.S. is going to take some kind of action.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. If you want to go up to his website, right there at the bottom, there's a section icon that says articles. You can click that. When we come back, we'll have open lines. Those of you listening to us on KVI in Seattle, if you want to check in with us and tell me about this dust that's out there, what is it? Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, ready to roll at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Circle the calendar, Friday, March 2nd. I'll be in Houston at the Verizon Wireless Theater for an event, and we'll be doing Coast to Coast from our affiliate. Go to ktrh.com and get all the information on that event. And going out, by the way, if those of you who want to bring copies of Worker in the Light, because they are not going to be sold at the event, but if you want to bring them, I will sign them for you, so don't worry about that. But go to ktrh.com and then click on the information on tickets, and if you can make it out there Friday, March 2nd, it would be great to see you. Okay, welcome now to the open line portion of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there, where are you calling from?
You speak to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm Tommy from Seattle,
okay,
and
Tommy.
I didn't see any dust. I live in the south end of Seattle near SeaTac Airport, but it's entirely possible that the jet stream picked up dust from the Gobi Desert or eastern China and dropped it over in Seattle.
From eastern China?
Well, sure. The Japs were using, Japanese were using balloon bombs during World War II, so it's entirely possible that the dust would come over here from there.
Okay, now, have you heard anything about the dust before this program?
Only that it had some mystery to it, and that was about it.
Okay, I'd like to get to the bottom of it. Hey, thanks. Appreciate your call. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hiya, George. Frank from Newark,
New Jersey. Sure.
Yes, I was reading something by Dr. Raymond J. Moody, where he his new work is an introduction to a book called Life on Other Planets that was written in 1758 and by Emanuel Swedenborg.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just very profound that this Swedenborg, who was a scientist, is still very relevant, you know, as far as just new books coming out all the time. And I had a near-death experience myself, and the only person that, you know, comes close to explaining it or describing it was Swedenborg, so I just thought that it'd be interesting if Dr. Moody can talk about that. And I don't understand how someone so brilliant as Swedenborg just manages to travel under radar, where nobody really recognizes all the discoveries, both in anatomy, cosmology.
He was a genius. You know, if he lived in this era, the guy would be a giant.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that happens with a lot of people. You know, not a lot of people know about Tesla. You know, we talk about him, and Coast to Coast listeners know about him. But believe it or not, I mean, there aren't a lot of people. You go outside and just go up to someone and say, hey, do you know Tesla? Tell us about him. Not a lot of people would know about him. A lot of great minds just have not gotten the kind of notoriety that they deserve. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
We've spoke a couple times before, and I'm going to be real quick about this. But first, I just want to ask you a quick question. The emergency public broadcasting system, you're familiar with that?
I sure am.
Okay. Well, I just heard something the other day I thought was kind of cute. Life is a test. It's only a test. If this had been your real life, you would have been given better instructions. But my question was, I heard something on there about a God code in DNA, and I was wondering if there was any more information on that on one of your old shows.
Oh, we've got a whole bunch of them. Just go search. Do you have a computer?
Yep.
Just go to the website, and up there in the search section, just type in the God code.
Okay.
And you'll get all the
information. And I was curious if anybody had ever tried using any of those Bible code programs on any of the Gnostic texts. If it works on those.
I'm not sure. That's interesting. But definitely go to the coasttocoastam.com website and do that. There's a great search engine we have there now. West of the Rockies, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about my Ouija board story.
Oh, sure. What happened?
Years ago, when I married my ex-wife, we got one for a wedding present. And a number of months later, we were planning on moving.
Well, now, wait a minute. Somebody got you that for a wedding present?
Yes. It was something that we just, you know, kind of played with a little bit and cast aside into the... It was, you know, kind of clutter. We threw it out when we were getting ready to move. And sometime later, we found it, minus the box. Everything was there, minus the box. And, you know, we had both of us really, really couldn't say, you know, which one, you know, we were accusing each other of keeping it. And we moved at least three more times and discarded it each time, and it kept reappearing in our lives.
Where did you discard it?
In the garbage.
And that it would just show up?
Yes, and this would be just before we were moving, and we would, like, change residence to a different town, and it would appear in our possessions again.
Oh, you'd open up a box, for example, and
yes.
It would be in there?
Months later, usually.
The Ouija board that never wanted to leave.
Well, it has left my life. We've been apart for 20 years, and I haven't seen it since.
Maybe it's following her.
I hope so.
What a thing to say. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
Well, I will be there soon. How are you?
Just fine, and this is Derek.
Okay, Derek.
First time caller. I wanted to comment and agree with some of your earlier callers and interviewers. I do believe that we will have a conflict with Iran in the very near future, but I think it's important that we observe Vladimir Putin, because I think he's going to play a very, no matter what the world scene is, Russia is always going to be there, I believe. And I, from the first time I ever saw a picture of that man on the front of a magazine, I just felt very, you know, pure evil, a lot of negativity about him. And I think if and when we do begin conflict with Iran, I think he will side with Iran against the U.S.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, they are helping to build one of their nuclear facilities, and they're a little upset because they claim they haven't been paid yet by the Iranians the money they believe is due. But I agree with you about Putin. I don't think he is to be trusted. He has got
no.
A look of evil in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
very much so.
And you know what? They are capable of pulling something. And,
oh, definitely. They have far too much power to be removed from the equation.
Yes, absolutely. Very perceptive.
I think so.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, we'll go to our wild card line. It is your turn. Hi there. Good morning.
Yeah, George.
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hey, George, this is Mike. I'm a truck driver out here in the state of Texas.
Well, welcome to the show, Mike.
Okay, what I wanted to ask, I tried to call you when you had the numbers lady on, and I wanted to call and ask you the significance of 666 and how it pertains to your daily life and everything, because I had a day where everything that popped up contained a six. Like, my meal started out with $6.66. I was pulled over by a state patrolman at the 66-mile marker at 626. His badge number was 6676. I was given a fix-it ticket to fix the trailer.
Yeah.
Because I had some problems on the trailer, and the bill came up to $626.66. It was a pretty weird day, and I wanted to call and see what you thought about it and what the significance of it would have been.
I think you're the devil, Michael.
Oh, God, I hope not.
No. Well, I got to tell you, it's the sign of the beast, right?
Well, I agree there, I know I'm not. At least I hope to God I'm not.
there is a priest, his name is DeJesus, and he claims that he has the number 666 on him. I'm trying to have our producers find him because he doesn't live in this country. He says he is God, and he thinks 666 is something good. I don't know. That's kind of weird that you see this all the time. You sound like a great guy. I don't think there's anything evil about you, but I don't know why that number pops up around you all the time.
I don't either. That's why I wanted to. Like I said, I tried to call when you had the numbers lady on because I sure would have been interested in how she thought about it and everything.
Yeah, we got to get her take on that.
Okay,
all right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you being on the program. West of the Rockies. Hello there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Dan in Mission, British Columbia.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm great, great. I've been listening to the program for about a year now, and there's been a lot of talk about Thunderbirds. And
in Thunderbirds, to people who don't know, we're not talking about the car. Talking about huge birds.
Exactly. I'm sorry, George. No. I'm not much of a car buff. So,
that's okay.
Anyway, I'm originally from Kenora, Ontario, and that's on a large lake called Lake of the Woods. And there is an island down in an area called Sabuskong Bay, and it's a small, tiny, I've never been there, by the way, but I've just heard about this, and it's in older explorer guides. And in the center of this island is a big nest, like a ring of boulders. And apparently it's been there for as long as anyone can remember.
How big is the nest?
Again, it's not in any of the newer, this isn't described in any of the newer explorer guides, but it says that it's a very small island. So I would imagine maybe a person could probably lay spread out in it, maybe. It's not huge, but...
That's pretty good-sized nest, though, if it was
built
by birds.
Exactly. And I used to work at a casino on a native reserve back there, and I got to know quite a few people there, and anyone you asked, they would tell you either they've seen something like that or their grandparents have talked about it, and it's something that's been passed down in their family through generation, these stories about these huge birds. And apparently Lake of the Woods, which has over 14,000 islands on it, was a popular place for these birds to nest when they were coming from either from way up north or wherever they were coming from.
And I believe that these birds still exist.
I do too. I mean, I haven't seen one myself, but actually I was talking to my brother and on the phone last week, and he was telling me that a native fellow he works with saw these birds on the side of the road when they were coming back from work one night, and he just said that the height of them was like a five and a, you know, it was almost like the height of a man that was about 5.5 feet high or something like that standing, but it was a bird, you know. I mean, and this was standing. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
You know, you've heard the story of Mothman, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see the movie. I've heard the story.
Yeah,
but...
well, I think it could be a huge bird, you know, and if that thing is standing. People would think that it's some ghoulish human with wings.
Yeah, exactly. And well, yeah, I mean, it's you'd think that because you wouldn't think that a bird would be that tall. And I mean, I can't imagine what would go through my mind if I saw something that big, you know, that had wings on it.
I tell you what, you run, because that bird has been known to swoop down and pick up small animals. There was a case, I believe it was in Illinois, where it swooped down and picked up a little kid, and his mother came out and it smacked the thing with a broom, and the bird dropped the little kid. He wasn't up too high. I mean, unbelievable story, and his jacket ripped. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Good day. Good evening, I should say.
Hi.
Was trying to have your call screener just take a look at the computer so he could tell you without saying it myself, but because I don't remember the name of the article or the name of the paper that it was in. But they were talking about the strange dust over the Washington area. It wasn't just Seattle, but it was like surrounding areas.
All over the place.
Certain
huh?
areas. But they had talked about how the first article was about how it was just this mysterious dust, and then it had a link to another article, and it talked about how mysterious dust, somebody ended up scooping it up and made or analyzed it, and they said that it was, I believe, spruce and jupiter, some pollen. Yeah,
that much pollen.
Yeah, they were saying that every, you know, once in a great while, conditions are just right to be able to produce all this, and that certain pollens don't have as bad of a reaction, allergic reaction to certain people.
How weird.
Because, but like I said,
about an inch thick, right?
Yeah, they were showing like a big pile of it in one picture, and like, you know, some of the chunks. I mean, it to me almost looked like certain gunpowders or fireworks type, you know, material.
Well, where would it come from? The trees in the forests out there?
Yeah, that's basically what the other article was stating, is that it was in that area that the conditions were just right, and that the heat was good enough, and that it built up and spread it around.
How bizarre.
But like I said, I found that off of Alex Jones's website, Prison Planet.
All right.
So, and that was in the last 4 days, because it was like a day or two after that first caller that made a mention about it.
All right, very good. Thanks. Appreciate that. Pollen, huh? Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
Hi, David from Alien Ship. How are you?
Fine, David. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I was looking for you at the expo. I missed you, but I catch Sean Morton, and we were talking about pole shift of 2012.
It's happening, Dave.
And I want to send all good energies to all people and humanity at this moment to focus and send love and positive energy towards this moment at the 2012. As we approach, the pressure on the news and events gets worse and worse. But as we meditate and pray and put all our energies together to offset and make this event much more happy for everybody, for ascension, for a good side, not the evil side, but the positive side. That's a good message for everybody. And you can see it all on the website we have, and join our group, Alien Shift, and raise the consciousness of the humanity.
Well, we sure need that, David. We sure need that. He sounds a little like Dr. Lewis Turry, doesn't he? Let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, George. I wanted to talk to you about something on the lighter side. I mean, so many things you talk about on this show are so serious, but my wife and I normally, every Friday night, we cook up a batch of George Norrie nachos.
And what are George Norrie nachos?
Well, I wanted to pass this on to all the Coast to Coast listeners, because I'm sure they get pretty hungry staying up all night listening to this show. What you do is you get a bag of blue corn chips, and then two tomatoes, and you chop them up, a can of black olives, chop them up, and then a green pepper or red pepper, chop them up, and you pour all this on top of the blue corn chips, and then you take an onion, chop it up, put that on top, and then one can of black beans drained, and you get the oven going at broil at about 350 degrees, and then you take your spices out. You get Mexican seasoning, cumin, and paprika, just a dash, some red pepper, and a little cilantro on top. And you pop it in there, and you just kind of keep an eye on it until it melts down, and there you go.
I'm waiting for the punchline here. There isn't any, is there?
No, that's it.
And are they pretty good?
Oh, they're great. They're great, and you know, whatever's left over, my son will eat them in the morning.
All right, and you listen to our Friday night open lines, I guess, when you do that. All right, that's pretty good. We get to send that in. We were working on a cookbook. Maybe we'll put that in as one of the recipes. You never know. Let's go to our next wild card line. You got about a minute. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, heavens. Good evening, Mr. Norrie. I'm Jason, calling from Houston.
Hey, Jason.
I look forward to your show here on the 2nd.
Thanks.
I was wanting to find out. I am a part of a organization called fairtax.org, and wanted to find out if there was any likelihood if you've ever looked into...
Oh, yeah. Isn't it Neil Bortz is part of that, isn't
it? Well, yeah, he's probably one of the biggest proponents when it comes to you know, radio personalities, whatever. That really helps us out.
I was with him in Austin, Texas, not too long ago. And
right.
We were
recently
talking about this. We'll probably do a few shows on Fair Tax as we get close to tax day.
I look forward to doing that.
It's time for them to revamp the tax code, isn't it?
We have more co-sponsors now just in the past month.
What do you propose, a use tax or a flat tax?
It's not a VAT. It's not a flat. Basically, we eliminate, and with all due respect, Mr. Norrie, I'm not a spokesperson.
I understand.
To do this, in fact, I'm the guy who...
You're just giving me a highlight.
Yeah, we basically eliminate all federal taxes across the entire everything. Estate taxes.
Wow. You know what?
Income, everything.
We'd all save a lot of money if we could do that. But we will be doing some programs on that. That affects every American who works. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. James Gardner, our special guest, the Intelligent Universe, AE, that's AI, Artificial Intelligence, ET, you know what that is, and the Emerging Mind of the Cosmos. Next.